You're listening to Atheistically Speaking.
Hello and welcome to Atheistically Speaking, episode 113. Okay, well, you may have noticed a couple things. I'm your host, Thomas Smith. I always try to say that. I don't know why. I'm getting my generic name out there. I don't know. I just decided to do it. Anyway, thing one, not the Dr. Seuss character, but thing numero uno, my voice sounds like crap. Now, I was sick. I recorded Comedy Shoeshine. We record that on Thursdays, so you may have noticed that came out. Check it out. Funny episode. There was a good rant in the beginning of that episode. Go check that out. Very good rant. If I do say so myself, I may end up trying to put that up on somewhere because as a standalone. But anyway. So I recorded that. I was just starting to get sick, and then my plan, obviously, is always to record Atheistically Speaking during the weekend. I take some time, and I like to be able to prep and all that. So Friday comes along, and I'm just dead sick with this cold, like just insanely sick. And it's a cold. It's not – I don't mean to exaggerate, but like just the typical like can't really even talk, can't do anything without sneezing or mucus. My intelligently designed nose is giving me all the snot I can handle. It's more than I would ever need in a lifetime. So thank you. Thank you, perfect intelligent being, for giving me more snot in the last couple days than I could ever use in my life. It's unbelievable. The amount of snot a body can generate is truly amazing, is it? Is it not? Am I wrong? So then I decided, well, I'll keep waiting it out. Maybe tomorrow I'll sound better. Maybe the next day I'll sound better. I kept trying to wait it out and it just got worse. And so I delayed this episode by 24 hours. Now it still will be releasing on a Monday, which is important to me because Monday is the technical release date. Now I usually release Sunday night at like 10 or 11, so that it's nice and ready for you guys for your Monday morning, commute or your work or whatever. But I decided in the interest of trying to sound as unannoying as possible that I would wait, give it a day. And it turns out I do sound a little better. Believe it or not, this is better. I'm hoping this is tolerable. I apologies if my voice is too annoying. But I just can't wait any longer. I mean, I got to get this thing out. So those are the things you have noticed. Oh, the other thing I was going to say that you noticed was that it's a day later than normal. But there you go. I already mentioned that. The only upside of a cold like this is you get to start doing – now I sound like, James Earl Jones or – all of a sudden I have the deepest voice in the world. It's kind of funny. I can be like the guy from the Men's Warehouse commercials. I don't know if anyone remembers that. You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it. Sound just like him. And he's not around anymore. I don't think he died, but they fired him or something. He was the Men's Warehouse guy forever, for my whole life. This is a strictly American thing, by the way. If you don't live here or something, then you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. But it's commercials that I'm assuming were national. I'm pretty sure they were. Where it's men's suits and then an old guy who's just, it sounds like he has throat cancer, kind of. It's just like, you're going to like the way you look. But anyway, so it sounds like that. The other fun thing I was doing is nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Do you guys have these games you play whenever I'm sick? It's not exactly a game, but just the deep voice thing. It's like I have certain things that are fun to say when I have a deep voice. It's weird how that works. All right, well, enough of that nonsense. Now, there's a lot to talk about today. Ooh, maybe I'll play some Tom and Terry music. This is going to be a lot of Tom and Terry. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, this would have been a good episode to have like an interview or something where I don't have to talk as much. And boy, do I agree with you. But that's the kind of thing you got to plan. It's kind of hard to bring in an interview last minute. People have schedules. People want to be prepared and that sort of thing. But I can tell you, I have an interview for next week that's going to be great. And I have several recordings planned coming up. So it's not just going to always be me talking, but it happened to be just me talking on the worst possible week when I'm sick. And there's not really much I can do about that. So again, you're going to have to listen to me, which I assume if you're listening to the show, you're somewhat okay with. So we'll go with it. Wait, just picture. Okay, never mind. I take that back. This is a great commentary. Just picture it's me interviewing the guy from the Men's Warehouse commercials. And then I can just talk like this the whole time. Okay, guys, here's what we... Actually, it's Larry King, too. That's another good one. All right. Tom, you're on the phone from... yeah, I need some good Larry King lines to do. But anyway. So I wanted to get back to discussing ISIS and the motivations behind it. Because there was an article that made the rounds. There was a Sam Harris podcast about it. It was sort of about the... that was about the Chapel Hill shootings, I think. But anyway, Sam Harris... endorsed this article, this Atlantic article, and he said he spoke with the author, so we can look forward to that. I was going to try to get into contact with the guy. We'll see what comes of that. But so I was just surfing around before I get to that, and I saw on my Twitter, Majid Nawaz, who you'll maybe recognize as the guy that Sam Harris is writing the book with, and he had a great quote on Twitter, I think it was. He said, "One cannot say ISIL are Islam, just like one cannot say they have nothing to do with Islam. They have something to do with it. When we refer to Stalin, we don't disassociate him entirely from communism, though Trotsky hated what Stalin did and paid with his life. Naming ideologies is a crucial first step in being able to refute them. Islam is a religion. Islamism is the desire to impose Islam over society. Jihadism is the use of force to spread Islamism. It is this desire to impose Islam, i.e. Islamism, that we must refute. Obviously, a desire to impose Islam cannot reasonably be said to have nothing to do with Islam. It has something to do with it. You may disagree with ISIL's interpretation of Islam, but if debating them, would you be debating Das Kapital or Islamic scripture? This is why it's crucial to name Islamism, so that Muslims are confronted with the rude awakening that we must claim Islam and its narratives from theocrats." Again, that's Majid Nawaz. A very interesting quote there. Now, this is where things get a little tricky, I guess, because I too am a little weirded out by Obama's refusal to even name Islam at all, but I understand it because, you know, at the same time, I do understand that we're not at war with Islam. I don't think we are at war with Islam. I think that the free world and the, you know, quote unquote, the free world, it just liberal democracy is always going to be at war with ideas that are counter to liberal democracy. And those ideas involve extreme conservative ideas, anti-gay, anti-women, there are no end to the ideas. Now, it just so happens that it seems like, based on, you know, numbers that I've seen from every poll I've ever seen, that, the Islamic faith is not great as regards liberal democracy and liberal ideals. They're not too good at that. So, but I understand not wanting to phrase it in terms of being at war with Islam. I do understand that. I would never say that. But it is also weird when people feel the need to go 180 degrees or my favorite thing to say sometimes is 360 degrees because sometimes people say that. But anyway, 180 degrees, you know, the other direction and say, ISIS has nothing to do with Islam. How dare you even call them by their name, you know, Islamic State, like that's their actual name. But people will sometimes freak out because it has Islam in it, even though that's their name. I mean, there is a weird reaction like that that I think is going overboard. I mean, it doesn't have nothing to do with Islam. It's a certain interpretation of Islam. And, the chips fall where they are with that. I mean, however many people support that version of Islam is however big the problem is. if just ISIS supports it, no one else does, that's not that huge of a problem. But it still has to do with Islam. It's still an interpretation that's very rooted in, you know, parts that of Islam that are, you know, rooted in texts and things that you can't say or something else. To go with Majid Nawaz, I mean, it's not, we're not talking communism. We're not talking some other theory. You know, it is very much rooted somewhere in Islam. But like I say, I mean, it's a problem in as much as people follow it. I don't think there's any reason to condemn all of Muslims for ISIS. Now, but that's the weird thing. I mean, going overboard and saying it has nothing to do with it is just, it frustrates me. It's sort of a, it's like one of those things where people think two wrongs make a right. I think that's what bothers me. And again, both sides bother me. If you're going to say ISIS, every Muslim ought to apologize for ISIS, I just disagree. That's not quite right. But the two wrongs make a right part is there. I have a few examples of that today. And it's something that I really don't appreciate, and it makes me lose trust in people, because I think that's the sort of thing that people say in order to fight a certain evil with another. Well, I won't say evil. That's a weird loaded term. I'll just say they try to fight one wrong with another wrong. People are legitimately worried about anti-Muslim sentiment and Islamophobia, which, you know, that's legitimate. I mean, if we start having lots of anti-Muslim hate crimes, of which there have been a few, they happen, definitely, then that's a problem, and that's something we want to fight. There's all kinds of racism on Twitter, and you can find endless quotes of people being incredibly racist towards Muslims. Again, it's not really a race, but it kind of is. I mean, it's the way they're being racist when they use foul language and stuff and derogatory terms to refer to Muslims. I guess they're just being bigoted. I'll just say that instead of racism. This is not technically racism, I guess, but bigoted behavior. You can find examples of that. So I think what happens is certain liberals will look at that bigoted behavior and say, this is a problem. We have people trying to blame all of Muslims for ISIS. We have people who think we're at war with Islam, who maybe think it's right to like harm Muslims just for no other reason. That's wrong. Here's what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to go 180 degrees the other way and say ISIS has nothing to do with Islam. They couldn't be less related. They're completely, you know, and so they go overboard that direction, which I do respect the intent. Feel free to let me know if you don't think this is what's happening, but that's kind of how I see it. I mean, it's sort of going as far the opposite direction as you can in order to try to promote, to promote different feelings, to make change people's minds, bigoted people's minds. And I certainly respect the effort and the intent, but the theme of tonight's show, as I'm going to point out a couple other weird things that I've seen said, I don't want to give them away now, but when you use two wrongs to make a right, it doesn't work out. The math doesn't work out, because what you also do is you sacrifice trust. I mean, there are going to be people who might be open to your message, who see things you say that are clearly not quite right, even if they're in service of another good, and you're going to lose those people's trust, I think. I mean, that's we'll get to an example in a minute here. So there I was enjoying that quote, and then I saw another tweet by Majid Nawaz. I was just kind of looking through his Twitter, and he said, "I'm regularly on CNN and BBC. I find it curious when fellow liberals object louder when I'm on Fox than when I'm on, say, Qatar-run Al Jazeera." So I don't have too many feelings on that. I don't complain when he's on anything. So anyway, the point is that I saw a response, and I wasn't looking for this, guys. I wasn't looking to bring up CJ Worleman again, but here goes. I saw a response. He said, "It didn't take you long to figure out how much money ultra-Zionist donors are willing to pay anti-Muslim fear merchants." So he's just calling Majid Nawaz an anti-Muslim fear merchant. You can't really reduce someone more than that. I mean, you can't really take someone's point of view and just completely signal that you're not at all open to it that by just characterizing them as an anti-Muslim fear merchant, which is really weird to say about Majid Nawaz because, you know, he's been kind of more, I mean, I wouldn't say on the CJ Werlemann side, but he's been a little different. You know, he's not the tip. I think what happened is since Sam Harris is writing a book with Majid Nawaz and mentioned it, now all of a sudden that just in CJ's and others, by the way, not just CJ, in other people's minds too, that means Majid is one of the bad guys to them now, even though he and Sam Harris probably don't agree on everything. I mean, maybe they do more after writing the book, but they had a very healthy debate and I'm pretty sure disagree on a lot of points. So it's interesting how that works. And again, wasn't trying to get into this, but I just, you know, I browsed Twitter. I keep an eye on different opinions. And in that thread, CJ also referenced a link, which I didn't realize at first was CJ's own writing, but it turned out to be CJ's own writing. And it's just a article that says, who are the millionaires behind the Islamophobic industry in America? Which is already sounding a little conspiracy theory-esque, I guess, is the word. I mean, I don't want to dismiss anything out of hand, but it's getting a little weird, especially some of the language. And so I start to read through this thing a little bit just to see what it says. And, you know, there could be something to this, especially with, you know, extreme conservatives or something. It's definitely possible that there are some people who are trying to spread Islamophobia or something. But then I see just in one of these paragraphs, CJ said, again, I looked at the article or the author after seeing, I thought CJ was just referencing another article, but he was posting his own article for someone to read. And he said, this week's attack against Muslim Americans have not been confined to graffiti, arson, vandalism, and threats. On Monday, a 39-year-old male suspect was arrested for stabbing two victims at a bus stop in Southfield, Michigan. The suspect asked whether the two victims were Muslim before stabbing one five times in the face, neck, and back, and the other in the hand. Now, I just happened to remember, I just was thinking, like, I thought I read about that, and I remember thinking, it was described this way, like, oh, are you Muslim? And then I remember thinking, I swear they said no, and then he stabbed him. And I just was thinking, so I was like, I'm going to check up on this. So I searched it. And yeah, it turns out I was right in my remembering. So CJ here is referencing, this is an example in his article of what's, and I posted this on Twitter and Facebook, by the way, you may have seen it, but I just found this. It's an example of what he is saying is anti-Muslim bigotry. And he happens to cite, well, it doesn't happen to, he cites, apparently if this passes muster with him for journalism, he cites an example of a Muslim stabbing people who aren't Muslims. That's literally, he cites the exact opposite of what he's trying to cite. And he cites this as this week's attacks against Muslim Americans. And I'm just thinking, like, this is, you can't, look, I'm trying to give this guy the benefit of the doubt. He's been on the show. I doubt he's going to come back. He probably would if I asked him to come back because he's pretty good at, I mean, despite the fact that I just tweeted how dumb this was, I don't know if he'll see it, but I think he probably would come back, but I don't know if I want him back. I mean, I'm willing to listen to stuff, but I'm not willing to listen to, like, just this kind of thing, like distortion of facts and, I mean, this is just piss poor journalism. He didn't even bother to check. He's so, and this is one example of I have another one actually, of another thing I kind of interacted with him on Twitter on. And it's I can't take these examples of, well, sure, I got some of these facts wrong or I'm distorting this or that, but like I'm right, so I can do that. You know, that's an attitude I can't get with. I don't care how right you are. I don't care if you think you're on the right side or even if you are on the correct side of an issue, as you know, according to me or whatever. Even if you are, you can't just distort facts however you want and change things up and mess up and get consistently. I mean, a mistake is a mistake, sure, but a series of mistakes makes for a loss of trust. I just don't trust CJ Wirleman at all anymore. I don't trust his info. I mean, I'll still keep an eye on him. Again, I really didn't want this to turn into a CJ Wirleman episode, but then I found all these things. So I decided maybe once and for all to kind of go into some of these reasons of why I'm not listening to the guy. Sorry, wrong wording. I'm still probably going to listen because I want to continue to know what other I want to know what other people are thinking. I want to know what opposite sides are thinking because I never want to get stale in my own, you know, beliefs. I never do. And let me take the time now to ask if anyone has someone other than CJ who they'd recommend I keep an eye on. Let me know. Is someone you disagree with, maybe. Now, I also keep an eye on Reza Aslan. I could get into that. Reza Aslan, Glenn Greenwald, people like that. But let me know if you have a good recommendation for someone to keep an eye on, just because I want to be exposed to other ways of thinking. I really do. But what I'm trying to say here is this is no longer like, oh, this is just a difference of opinion on certain things. This is like, I don't trust what his reporting. I don't trust his facts, quote unquote. I just don't. I mean, there are some people I can read and, you know, I don't take anything blindly, but I can trust that they've done the work on it. I can trust that they've vetted their sources, that, you know, et cetera, to a certain extent. I mean, if push comes to shove, I'll check on anything. But this, I feel like I can't read something by CJ Wirleman without fact-checking every line of it. Like, I no longer feel like I can trust a single line of what he says. Now, let me go into the other example. Just, again, this is sort of I'm done with this after this episode. I mean, CJ may come up, but I had two things happen, maybe more, two or three happen where I just completely am like, what is this guy even writing about? Used to be, like I said, he was a guest on the show. I would listen to him. I would entertain his point of view. You know, I think he was right about certain things. Now I just can't trust him. I don't trust someone who distorts things. So here's the other interaction that happened. So I saw a tweet by CJ and he said, Islamic Center fire media, quote, he was trying to keep warm. And then arsonist, quote, I hate Muslims. Any questions, CJ says. So he's trying to build the narrative of the media will do anything to try to distract from anti-Muslim bigotry. Now, there may be some tiny grain of truth in what he's saying. There may be a large grain of truth in what he's saying. There may be a lot of things. But I need to be able to trust someone. I need to be able to know that they're actually looking at the facts if I can trust them as a source. So anyway, here's the thing. I had to respond to this because I thought it was so bizarre. He said media he was trying to keep warm, and the link he referenced was theblaze.com, which is like not the news. That's not even – The Blaze was founded by Glenn Beck, so that gives you an idea. So he's saying CJ is painting this as though the media is saying one thing. And then the other funny thing about this is he has a link for the second quote where it said, arsonist, I hate Muslims. And it's from ABC, which is a bigger media source. Like, that's a more of the media than The Blaze is. So he's in order for this tweet to have made sense, the first media quote, where he was trying to keep warm, which is a ridiculous excuse for starting a fire I hope I explained this properly, that somebody started a fire at an Islamic center, and somehow the excuse was given that he was just trying to stay warm, although that didn't end up really panning out to much. But and CJ is trying to paint it as though the media is desperate for this excuse, because they're trying to paint over any sort of anti-Muslim bigotry. Now, for this to have worked, his media quote would have had to be the media, like ABC, like something that's more representative of the media, not theblaze.com. That is not representative of the media. And then his arsonist quote would have had to have been somehow obtained not through conventional media, or maybe through some back, you know, back channel, small media site or something, and would have had to have been a direct quote from the arsonist or something for it to work. But instead, he has it completely switched around. He references the Blaze's media, and then he references ABC, who's covering the point of view that he's trying to make. He references that as not the media. Like, somehow that's... And so I just tweeted at him. I was sort of in astonishment at this. So the Blaze is media, but ABC, which is actual media, is somehow not the media? Weird. And then he responds back, is NBC actual media? And he has a link. And it was to an NBC news article that just reports what happened. And so what I'm guessing happened is CJ decided to just Google, like, shit, better find another better source. And that's all well and good, except I was looking at the dates, and this article says authorities won't comment on the motive. As Ferguson left a police station, Ferguson is the name of the guy, in handcuffs Monday night, a reporter asked him, were you just trying to stay warm? Ferguson replied, yes, sir. The Houston Chronicle quoted him as saying it was an accident. Now, like it said a second ago, authorities won't comment on the motive. So this article, which CJ sent me, now tweeted at me, supposedly proving that the media is all about distorting the anti, you know, Muslim bigotry. It says authorities won't comment, but the one where he, the arsonist said, I hate Muslims, that he quoted, that one was from one day later, and it has an official quote, and investigators are trying to charge him with a hate crime. They're actually, the motive that the official, you know, investigators are alleging is an anti-Muslim motive. So it just doesn't work out. I hope that was clear, and you can check out Twitter if it wasn't. Basically, what happened, I'll try to summarize. CJ sent me another link saying, here's the real media getting it wrong. And it turns out it was just from a day earlier. Now, I'm guessing, my guess is maybe the authorities hadn't commented by then. So if the authorities hadn't commented, the information, the surveillance tape that captured him telling someone that he hated Muslims, that wasn't available yet, I'm guessing. And then a day later, the article that CJ cites as proof that, you know, the arsonist hates Muslims, which it kind of was proof, that's from a day later, and it has authorities quoting in there. So I'm guessing they didn't speak until a day later or something. I mean, there are questions. The point is, I don't trust how this data was relayed to me by CJ, by one CJ Worldman. He's just not trustworthy. And it's stuff like this. Now, you can say, well, and he did say later, he said to me, I asked him, like, this, I pointed this out to CJ. I said, this is a day later. This is probably what happened. And I said, what's the point? Like, what are you trying to get at here? What am I supposed to get from this? And he said, well, here's the problem. The point is, I'm quoting from, this is a tweet from CJ directly to me. Point is, white perps often get to control the narrative. Black brown perps never get that privilege. Now there you go. That is a problem, and it's a problem to the extent that, you know, obviously we find evidence of it, and I'm totally open to evidence of it. I've seen evidence of it, so I agree that that's an issue. But the problem is, you can't just take what you think is a good cause and then do completely just, you know, screw over the facts to get to that cause. You just can't. I mean, it's you lose trust along the way. And that's the point I've wanted to make tonight with this show. You can't just take what you think is a good cause and lie or misrepresent or distort facts in order to make your point. It just doesn't work that way. You need to be consistent. You need to be intellectually consistent. You need to be logically consistent. Otherwise, you're going to lose people's trust. And it's just, you just need to practice that consistency. CJ Worldman does not practice that consistency. I don't see him as a good source of anything now. I really don't. Except stuff to be mad at, I guess. Now, there's one more thing I need to get at. And I'm probably going to try to call this a show pretty soon, just because I'm really sorry about how bad my voice sounds. I'm listening back, and I can't tell because it's me, but it just seems like it sounds awful. And I apologize for that, but there's one thing a podcaster needs, and it's this friggin' voice. I could have lost a hand. I'd probably still be able to podcast. That wouldn't be fun, but could lose a lot of things, but not my voice. That's kind of what I need. Unless I get like the robot from the Radiohead album, like fitter, happier, more productive. For anyone who gets that reference, like if I got one of those robots to type into and then do my entire show that way, that would be interesting. I wonder if anyone has a podcast that's that. So one more point I want to make, and this is sort of related to CJ, but again, not really. I can move on. But this is having to do with people who are pointing the Chapel Hill shooting back on atheism. And this is always going to be self-refuting. This is the point I meant to make before, and I forget if I really did. But when you look at that example of CJ, of that crime he referenced as an anti-Muslim crime, when in fact it was a crime by a Muslim against non-Muslims. So it was literally the opposite of what he was going for. But anyway, I've already discussed that. When you look at that, look at what he did. He formed a narrative. Now, CJ and others, this is where I'm bringing in others. It has been a common theme for CJ, Reza Aslan, Glenn Greenwald, that group, and many more, not just them, to say, how dare you atheists pin terrorism or Islamism or anything like that, or ISIS, how dare you link that at all to Islam, to Muslims? You are bigots and Islamophobes for making that connection. And sometimes they'll say, you know, these are people with problems, these are crazy people, these are whatever their explanatory thing is, that they'll give some reason. Now, but did you see what CJ did in that article that I referenced? Now, he had his narrative. His narrative was, there's a culture of anti-Islam hate, of anti-Muslim hate. There's a culture of Islamophobia. That's his narrative. And then he finds what he thinks is a crime, you know, an example of a crime that fits in that narrative. And he ascribes motives to, I don't know where he got these motives, especially because as I have already showed three times now, it was a crime by a Muslim. But in his mind, in CJ's mind, this is a crime committed by an anti-Muslim. Remember, we're talking about what's in his mind now. And in his mind, he's already made that narrative of, this is why this guy did it. It's because he hates Muslims. And he's done all this ascribing of motives. Even though, if you look at the details of the crime, the guy was pretty nuts. Like, he just sounded nuts. He was rambling. He was clearly had problems. Now, I don't pin that guy's crime, despite the fact that he even said, the criminal said he did it because he was a Muslim and he hated non-Muslims. That's the reasoning he gave. So it's pretty hard to not pin that one on Islam. However, the guy, if you know, it seemed like his mental health was very questionable. He was stuttering and stammering and not very coherent. So, okay, that guy's got problems. I'm not going to say this is like the next, you know, the next terrorist sleeper cell is, you know, acting through this guy or whatever. This is just a guy who, you know, maybe Islam contributes partially to it, but he's also nuts. But CJ ignored all that. He ignored the fact that the guy was nuts. He ignored all that and played directly into what his pattern was that he identified. CJ's pattern was anti-Muslim hate. And he was all too ready to put this guy's motives down as anti-Muslim. So do you see what I mean? Do you see the hypocrisy there in that your whole thing is that, you know, no Muslim, you don't know their motives. You don't know terrorist motives. They're actually motivated by other things, not Islam, blah, blah, blah. It's poverty. It's U.S. foreign policy. It's all this stuff. However, when it's self-refuting, because when he points at these other examples, he's all too eager to just tell you what the motive is. Oh, here's the motive. It's anti-Muslim hate. So that was another point I wanted to make. So several, I guess it was three things I mentioned that really just I totally lost all trust in CJ. I know I'm probably one of the last people to do so. Now, if you're listening and you're a fan of CJ, that's okay. I mean, I'm still open to hear other sides, but just recognize those distortions. I mean, you might agree with his bigger views, and that's fine. I'm open to those views. I'm open to those points, but I'm not open to those distortions. I'm not open to distorting the facts how you see fit. I just am not. You know, that's not the way to argue for something, even if you're arguing for the right thing. So I don't want to make anyone think I've completely dismissed any point CJ has ever made. I've not. I mean, there are points he's made that I've pointed out when I agree with, but I think I've made my point here. I want to end my show with, I was going to read a comment, because I haven't read a comment by a listener in a while, but I think I'm going to be out of time, and it might launch a bigger discussion, and you know me, I'll get carried away, and this will be a 2-hour episode. So I think I'm going to end now with a call for another panel. Now, I put together a parenting panel before. That was very fun. I love that. Turned out great. Thank you all to who responded for the parent panel. Now, here's a new call. New panel. People who have gotten married as atheists, or at least secular wedding celebrations. I'm having a secular wedding very soon. Couple months away, actually. And I've been meaning to have a discussion about what you do with a secular wedding, because we're trying to come up with a ceremony, and it's hard because everything you read and look up and everything everyone does is religious, you know, or the ones that aren't religious, I haven't been really satisfied with because, I haven't been happy. So the point is, I would love to put together another panel. People who have had secular weddings, what did you do? What was your ceremony like? You know, what were concerns? I'll take anybody. I mean, even if you didn't have a secular wedding and wish you did or whatever. I mean, I ended up with a lot of panelist volunteers last time. I don't know if this will be another topic where I end up with plenty of panelist volunteers, but I hope so. Now, as usual, I would like to get at least one female panelist, just because I want to hear the different perspectives. So I mean, I may have to reject, you know, if I just get three men, you know, because I got a ton of male panelists. No offense at all to you male panelists who applied last time. Thank you so much. But I want to try to get at least one female in there. So, but don't feel shy. I mean, so far I have zero. So if you haven't yet, because I don't know how you would have, because I'm just saying this now, get in contact with me about this panel. And again, that's if you've had a secular wedding, or if you are at least maybe prepared to have thoughts on a secular wedding, or if maybe you're a chaplain or whatever they call it. What do they call it? Officiant? Yeah. Maybe you've officiated a secular wedding. Who knows? There's lots of listeners out there. So please get back at me. I hope some of those listeners I'm referencing made it through this really terribly voiced episode. I don't know. So thank you all for listening. And I have different plans for Thursday. I'm hoping that I'll be able to have less of a burden on my voice, and or maybe it'll be better by then. So we'll see. Thank you all for listening. I'll see you next episode.